For the third factorization, we are not yet able to establish existence.
We have to develop
some tools,
both theoretical and computational,
which will be useful also for the first factorization, to compute the first factorization.
We can say for now only this. For the
third factorization.
If it exists, it can be proven that it exists for n max.
It always exists. So we will see later this. It is not unique.
It is not
why? Because if we start from a factorization of this kind, we can put between the Q and the R matrix the identity matrix written as the product of two diagonal matrices D and BH, where D is diagonal, as I said, but also unitary diagonal and a matrix diagonal and unitary. How is it made? If D is, say, D, say, n equal to 2, diagonal. Unitary means that DH makes the identity matrix. Now DH is again the transpose, the conjugate transpose of diagonal is again diagonal. Along the diagonal, there are the conjugates of the corresponding entries. If you multiply, you will find the DII complex numbers. The first by its self-conjugate, 1. The second, the same. So, in general, it is easily seen that a matrix of this kind must have all main entries with modulus 1. Example. We are over the complex numbers 1, 0, 0, 0, I, where I is the complex imaginary unit. These matrices we will meet many times these matrices in the following of the course are called matrici di fase, phase matrices. Why we are considering these phase matrices? Because if we put together Q unitary with D phase matrix, Q by D, and call it Q tilde, Q tilde is again unitary. Why? Because the product of unitary matrices is unitary too. The class of unitary matrices we saw 1 month ago is a class closed under multiplication. Unitary too. And same happens for these two factors. The H is diagonal, R is upper, diagonal by upper is again upper. Diagonal, R is upper, is again upper. If you call this upper matrix as R tilde, we see that we can obtain infinitely many other different QR factorization by inserting a phase matrix with its conjugate inside the first and the second factor with factorization. But it must be said that unicity is important, is a nice property from the theoretical point of view in the application. If I can use one factorization or another factorization, this does not matter. It can be also useful to have some possibility of choices between different factorization for the same problem. The methods. We start from the second factorization. Between it can the corresponding method, the Cholesky method. Or LDH method can be found called also with the same name of the factorization. It is also a matter of algebraic manipulations. In general. The factorizations can be computed in two ways. By compact methods, by using elementary matrices. Um, It is easy to describe how to compute the LU factorization and the second LH factorization using the so-called compact methods we will see here now. The other way, the use of elementary matrices, we will apply this second way to, again, the LU factorization and the QR factorization. So we will prove the existence of the QR factorization for any matrix by finding it according to this procedure. Let me say something about the difference between these two procedures. We can express, and so we can compute all the entries of the matrices involved in factorization just using and expanding the equation given by the factorization itself. For instance, for the LU factorizations, it is, I could say, the same idea we used in the proof of the existence. Here I write only the first entries in the first rows. And so on. In a suitable order the rows of L and the columns of U and equate to the corresponding entry in the matrix A, the suitable order, what can be a suitable order? We start from first row, first column. You have immediately U1, 1. If you multiply the first row of L by the other columns of U, you will find immediately U1J equal to A1J. So we can compute it this way for J from 2 until n. We have computed all these entries. Now let us consider the second row of L by the first column of U. You will find L21 by U11 that you already know is equal to A21. And so on. Here you will find R1 equal to 1 over U11, already computed by the entry of A with the same indices. compute all the entries of L on the first column. At this point, we turn to the second row of L and the second column of U. Write this here. This, which is known by this, which is known, plus 1 by U22, which is unknown, equal to A22. So from this you can find the diagonal entry U22 as the difference I am writing here, and so on. So it is easy to, I don't write the complete scheme, but the idea is clear. First row, first column, second row, second column, and so on. This procedure is known as Kraut method. The Kraut method is an elementary method which allows us to compute in this order. There are also different orders. All the elements of L and U. You can see here the presence, the effect of the sufficient condition for the existence of the L U factorization. Where, when we divide, show it here. Here I divide by U11. Which is equal to A11, which is the first, the leading principal minor. If we go on, we would find 1 over the following, this number, which must be different from 0. And it can be seen that this number can be linked to the determinant of the leading principal minor of order 2. So the theory which we have met before is confirmed, obviously. Well, this idea can be applied in the same way, in a similar way, also to the second factorization. Now we have, again, a lower by an upper. The order in which we consider the scalar equation is the same. The difference, I write it again, the difference is that the second matrix, the upper matrix, the upper triangular matrix, is the Hermitian of the first. And the first has so here we have the conjugate of the same entries, making transposed position. Here we have real numbers, so the that conjugate. Here I have, and so on. The matrix A here is Hermitian, so I can write here this entry is the conjugate of this, and so on. E
same order, in the same order, as in the Kraut method, the scalar equations. So we start from first row, first column. What is the difference? One by one, only one entry, first row, first column, and here. So, L11 is the square root of the same entry in A. Now I consider the second, the other row of L, quindi so L. L. That's right here. The general form. The sum. Look, four. I move inside the lower triangular part of A, so I consider values of the indices I, row index, greater than or equal to j. The sum here I have, so a I j, and on the left product of the jth row, so l I through, sorry, l I k by l conjugated jk for k starting from 1 until j, the smaller between I and j. Is it right? L I k L conjugated jk, here the indices are inverted, equal to a I j. If I specialize this equation, this holds for all the indices of row greater than the indices of column. For when I am on the first column, here I have j equal to 1 on the left, and here I have L 1 1 conjugated, but this is the main entry really. I am considering j equal to 1. We are on the first column and we are multiplying each row by the first column of LH. So j is equal to 1. This sum goes from 1 to 1, so I have only one product, I 1 1 1. What is the use of this equation? This equation allows me to find this. For I from 2 until f. This is known. This has been already computed. Yes. So I complete the computation of the first column of L, and that is substantially the first row of LH conjugated. Then we go on, we try to write correctly all the scheme, all the computation scheme. For j equal to 1, the two formulas are these. For j greater than 1, we first compute fjj, which is given by the square root of let us write before that equation for I equal to j. J k modulus squared j k from 1 to j. J, A, G, G. We obtain the last of these terms, L, J, J, as the square root, because it is squared, of A, G, G, minus the terms left that form the sum from 1 to G minus 1, the square of those moduli. So we found the entry LJJ. We go on by computing the other entries of L along the same column, which are given by L I, J, 1 over L, J, J, by A, I, J, minus, also he, the left part of the sum, which is I, K, J, K, conjugated, k from 1 to j minus 1. For I, which goes from j plus 1 until f. So the order is just the columns, the various columns of L. There are no computational problems apart from the positivity of the radicand. For what reason the radicands must be positive? We can guess from the first radicand. The radicand is A11. Why A11 must be positive? Because the matrix is positive definite. So this is just the determinant of the first leading principal minor. So this number has to be strictly positive. Well, as in the Kraut method, the other quantities, in this case, the other radicands, can be related to the determinants of LJ.
LJJ has to be something with the determinant of the corresponding leading principal minor of order J. This is positive, so also this must be positive. I can say more. In order to check if a matrix, an Hermitian matrix, is or not positive definite, this method can be started. I try to use this method anyway if I stop the method. I am obliged to stop the method because some LJJ does not exist, because the corresponding radicand is negative or zero. This means that the given matrix was not positive definite. Two words about the complexity of this procedure. It can be found, do not perform the complete check, that this method, as I said before, is often called Cholesky method. The complexity for the first factorization is about n cubed over 3, and for the Cholesky method, the multiplicative complexity, I count only multiplications and divisions, and for the Cholesky is about 1/2 of this, so 1/6 by the cube of n. We will see that we will obtain the same complexity for the LU factorization if we use Gauss, as you know, or the elementary factorization, which will be introduced next time. Yeah, I stop here. Next time we'll see how to compute the LU factorization and QR by elementary matrices. It is a completely different way of seeing the same factorization. Ci fermiamo qui, domande? Ok, grazie.